Dr. Chung, this very gracious and courageous woman, writes in the letter to her mothers that I referred to last night, "My garden is not fancy, but I am growing some strong, healthy flowers, vegetables, and fruit trees. I named them Eve, mother of us all, Mary, mother of Jesus, Kuan Yin, goddess of compassion, Parvati, goddess of cosmic dance, Sarah, Hagar, Duron, Kuan Myung, and many other women I like. It is from these women that she likes, that she understands that her bowel is shaman, her heart is Buddhist, her right brain is Confucian, and her left brain is Christian." Dr. Chung. Thank you.
Sisters and brothers, I'm very touched by Rita's talk and your presence here this morning. Especially this morning, before my talk, one brother, white Anglo-Saxon, looking like a middle-class brother, came to me and gave me this apple. Hallelujah! I can see the redemption of patriarchal Christianity a little bit through his action. So maybe I will bite the apple this morning. And ask you, what taboo have you broken lately? Thank you for your affirmation. When I first heard from organizing committee, I'm going to share this morning session with Rita Nakashima Brock, I was puzzled. I asked, why Rita? There are so many women theologians, but why they chose two Asian women? Do you think they thought maybe the Western Christianity is in some sense bankrupt? So they think they want to find something from Asia. Also, whenever I think about Rita, I really admire her because I met her in Claremont and we studied process theology together. Then she told me she is a Asian Japanese, Puerto Rican, American, and one of her grandfather is even a Native American. So I joked with Rita, if you have an African lover, basically you will cover the whole world, so you've got the so she's got the whole world in her hand. So you are so you are representing United Nations within you, and maybe I represent the parliament of world religions within me, because I came from very much shamanistic and Buddhist and Confucian, Taoist, and Christian tradition. So today, I want to share about my image of God from that part. Why it is so important to talk about the image of God? Because when we talk about the image of God, it is basically talking about who we are in relation to ourselves and in this world and in this entire cosmos. Therefore, like what Tina Turner said, the one of my favorite singer. She said, what love got to do with it? And I say, what God got to do with it? I always ask this question because as a Asian feminist liberation theologian, I always ask this question, what God got to do with this reality of third worldness? And what God got to do with reality of Asia? And what God got to do with reality of being a woman? When I raise this question, the language of God, God language become highly charged political language and highly charged metaphorical language. I remember Mary Daly. She said, when God is man, man becomes God in a beyond God Father. And I also remember Sally McBeth, how God language is metaphorical language, because we talk about what it is, but what it is not at the same time. Speaking of God is speaking of unspeakable. When I first heard from organizing committee, I'm going to share this morning session with Rita Nakashima Brock, I was puzzled. I asked, why Rita? There are so many women theologians, but why they chose two Asian women? Do you think they thought maybe the Western Christianity is in some sense bankrupt? So they think they want to find something from Asia. Also, whenever I think about Rita, I really admire her because I met her in Claremont and we studied process theology together. Then she told me she is a Japanese, Puerto Rican, American, and one of her grandfather is even a Native American. So I joked with Rita, if you have an African lover, a basically you will cover the whole world, so you've got to. So she's got the whole world in her hand. So you are so you are representing United Nations within you. And maybe I represent the parliament of world religions within me, because I came from very much shamanistic and Buddhist and Confucian, Taoist, and Christian tradition. So today, I want to share about my image of God from that part. Why it is so important to talk about the image of God? Because when we talk about the image of God, it's basically talking about who we are in relation to ourselves and in this world and in this entire cosmos. Therefore, like what Tina Turner said, the one of my favorite singer, she said, what love got to do with it? And I say, what God got to do with it? I always ask this question because as a Asian feminist liberation theologian, I always ask this question, what God got to do with this reality of third worldness? And what God got to do with reality of Asia? And what God got to do with reality of being a woman? When I raise this question, the language of God, God language become highly charged political language and highly charged metaphorical language. I remember Mary Daly. She said, when God is man, man becomes God in a beyond God Father. And I also remember Sally McBeth, how God language is metaphorical language, because we talk about what it is, but what it is not at the same time. Speaking of God is speaking of unspeakable. Sometimes I feel stupid. I talk about God, even I cannot see God, I cannot name God in a scientific way, then why I still speak about God? Speaking about God is affirming our meaning of life. The speaking of God is come to terms with why we are here at this very moment in this place. Therefore, speaking of God is asking where we came from, where we are, and where we are going. Therefore, I ask this question from my root. What is it? What it means to talk about God when the world is full of suffering, especially when I read Asian woman's struggle in this world? And this whole 500 years of Western colonization and whole tradition of foot binding and wife burning and using comfort woman in various words and using Asian woman as the last paradise of feminine women. What does it mean to talk about God? What God has to do with this brokenness, this oppression, colonialism, capitalism? That is the question I'm asking. Also, I'm asking another question. What it means to talk about God as Asian? I was educated as a Christian theologian. But every Asian Christian theologian must come to terms with what it means being an Asian 100% and being a Christian 100%. Because when I look at our history of religion, we have more than 5,000 of shamanism and 2,000 years of Taoism and almost 2,000 years of Buddhism and 700 years of Confucianism and only 100 years of Protestantism in Korea. Therefore, whenever I go to big temples, in Buddhist temples, and I look at Buddha, I feel so young. I came from youngest family of this whole community. And whenever I think about Buddha died in the 80s, and Jesus died when he was 33, maybe my next Christology book should be Jesus, too young to understand. Because in Asia, we honor lived experience. Therefore, we are not just living. That's why we respect older people in Asia. So I ask this question. I'm not doing just the religious, inter-religious dialogue with Buddhists, Confucianists, and Taoists, because all of them are within me. So I asked my friend introduced me. I feel like my body is shamanist and my heart is Buddhist and my right brain is Confucianist and my left brain is Christian. Because I live all this reality of religion, but I name my image of God with the public language of my church, which is Christian language. So I use all these terms of incarnation, that God, Father, and Mother, Yahweh, and all these terms I learned from my tradition. It's almost like I'm using English right now in order to express, in order to communicate with you. But my mother tongue is Korean. And maybe my grandmother tongue should be my body language. But I use still English in order to communicate with you. The same. Being an Asian, I dialogue with all this religion and all these religious figures everyday basis. So it is intra-religious dialogue. And I often said, that's why I need archaeology of spirituality within me. Because every layer I can see all these people screaming and shouting and said, oh, you've come a long way, Hyunkyo. Go on. But this is like a symphony of gods. I call it family of gods. And my friend Ada Maria Isaias said, you should say, that is a continuum of divinity. So they are together. In Asia, the population of Christianity is only less than 3%. Therefore, we are talking about 97% of people in Asia who do not articulate their faith in Christian language and metaphors. In this setting, what it means to do theology with Asian sensitivity and Asian heart and Asian body? Can we really get out of this cultural imperialism so I can be fully Asian to celebrate divinity within our people? That is a major question I ask when I talk about God. And third question is, what God's got to do with my reality of being a woman? Many Korean churches, they still do not ordain women. And the reason they do not ordain women was, see, Jesus was man. And woman, you menstruate. And when you menstruate, you are not clean. So how you dare to stand up in the holy altar and talk about God's words? And we have a pastor, very brave pastor from Woman Church. She responded to these male ministers. And because they said, when woman ministers say, give a sermon, when she got pregnant, her stomach is so big and everybody will know she had a sex. So this minister from Woman Church stood up and say, brother, listen. Many of you, the pastor of big churches, because you are fed so well by your congregation, all of you have a big stomach hanging there. And when you see your big stomach, just the mere fat, is it okay? But when you see woman's big stomach with life, with a baby, it isn't okay. What kind of thinking you are you having? So we all shouted, screamed, and left. But that's the reality of Christian church. Christian church has been very patriarchal. And that's why we are here together, in order to destroy this patriarchal idolatry of Christianity. Therefore, whenever I think about image of God, I always think about the image of God in these questions. My being a third world liberation theologian,
my being an Asian and my being a woman. But I also know all this God language is a metaphorical language, and talking about God is impossible. And in order to talk about God, maybe we really get into the place of my apple has a free spirit. Only dropped 3 times. She has mind of her own. But language of God is language of mystery. So we cannot talk about God. God is in the silence. That's why I have a problem with all this personalized God, personified God. Even the best image, like McFag said, in ecological age, nuclear age, God as friend, God as mother, God as lover, but they are still person. But many Asians, we see God in the wind, in the fire, in the tree, in the ocean. We are living with God. It's just energy, life-giving energy there. And I also learned much from Zen Buddhist. They say, God is pure emptiness, so you cannot talk about God. Even when I look at Christian tradition like Meister Eckhart and Thomas Merton, Catherine of Siena, they also talk about God as silence, God as nothingness, and God as pure emptiness. Therefore, talking about God is like writing a poetry. Even we don't know, we cannot just factually name that, but in the depths of that poetry, we meet the rawness and aliveness of life and what it means to be human, what it means to be fully alive. With this background, I want to share with you what we are doing in Asia, especially among women's theological community. This is a book I brought from Korea. You can see the shamanistic mother god image in the cover of this book. This is a new book published by Korean Association of Women Theologians. This is our post-colonial, post-patriarchal, post-Western project. What we do here is feminist theological reflection on goddess in Korean folk religions. So they look at all these images of goddess in order to find the meaning and our relation to the world and our relation to the nature and our relation to ourselves and problem with the world through this image of goddesses. And what they did in this book, and not only them, also Ecumenical Association of Third World Theologians, we called Eat What. It's like Eat What. It's like Third World Theology is basically Eat What Theology. And in these two organizations, what it did was, what did this look like when we look at God from perspective of poor and perspective of Asian and perspective of woman? And we discovered some changes, the necessary changes we need to take in order to reimagine God from this perspective. The first thing is we have to change our location of research from institutionalized so-called high world religions to popular religiosity or folk religion. And second, we have to look into woman's religion.
And third, we have to see very much Asian religions in order to build solid Christian theology from our root. So out of this, today, I want to share three images of God so striking in Asia, and how these three images of God transform my Christianity and my theological understanding of God. The three goddesses I want to share with you this morning are Kali and Kuan Yin and Ina. These are my new trinity, Kali and Kuan Yin and Ina. I got to know about their presence through my participation in Asian Women's Movement. I wanted to know in what situation I encountered these goddesses. Last June, the two years ago, I went to Sri Lanka. The many third world theologians gathered together to name the spirituality which is based on cosmos, not just outwardly patriarchal spirituality, but spirituality really based on our everyday life, ordinary life, and our cosmos. At that time, our conference center is in front of Kali Temple. One day, I witnessed 3,000 Sri Lankan mothers marched toward Kali Temple. They all wore white dresses. And I asked them, who are they? And they said, there are real big racial conflict in Sri Lanka between Sinhalese majority government and Tamil minority. And many Tamil young men, they got killed by Sinhalese government. And these mothers are the mothers of these slain young men, 3,000 of them, and they marched toward the temple. So I marched with them, you know, my heart is just right there with them. And they have this ritual, which is very simple and very striking. This representative of this young man's mother, she read all the names of men, the government officers, who are considered to kill their sons. They researched their name and they called all these men's name. And after calling all these names, she said only one thing. No more elaboration. She said, Kali, let them punished. Then what happened after was, these 3,000 women bring coconuts, one coconut each. And in front of Kali, they smashed the coconut on the ground. And I asked Aruna, what is this? Why people smash coconut? And she said, this is offering to Kali. But as an outsider, when I look at it, I really witnessed all this man's head is smashed there. Because when they just smashed the coconut. And because Kali has all these necklaces and is a beheaded man's head, man's skull in her head. And Kali is goddess of revenge and goddess of justice. And people said, revenge is bad. In Christian tradition, we talk about forgiveness and reconciliation. I like forgiveness. I like reconciliation. But I want to know who says forgiveness and who says reconciliation. Because there is no change in power and oppression. And talking about reconciliation and forgiveness is so superficial, so pony. So this poor women, this Tamil woman, what they needed is this strong justice of Kali. They really wanted their son's death was not vain. They want justice done to their son's death and to their own life. Therefore, I claim Kali as a justice, the goddess of justice. She is fierce. She is uncontrollable. She is firing. She is wild. Her power is not acceptable power. But she used this power to claim justice, to do justice. This is the very, very striking image of Kali. And then I dreamed about myself breaking coconuts in front of IMF and World Bank and Vatican. So I thought all these women should go to these places and 3,000 of us bring our coconuts and smash it in front of them and say, let them punished. So these 500 years of colonialism can have a real meaning of a jubilee, not just a metaphorical meaning. I want to be a fundamentalist sometimes because it is a really good idea to have a jubilee. Then second image I encountered in Asia is the image of Kuan Yin. Kali is usually located in India and Sri Lanka. It's a Hindu image of God, goddess. And Kuan Yin is a Buddhist image of goddess. And Kuan Yin is located Northeast Asia, like China, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, at those places. Kuan Yin, the literal meaning of Kuan Yin means one who hears the cry. It is the meaning of Kuan Yin. And when I look at Kuan Yin is a beautiful woman. She is riding a dragon. Dragon is a very wonderful symbol in Asia, not like here you call bad woman dragon lady here, right? But in Asia, dragon is a very holy object. Kuan Yin is riding a dragon, but she's riding the very, very turbulent ocean. But she's very calm. She has this branch of a tree on her left hand, and on her right hand, she's this medicine box, real healing potion. So when she dropped this potion, people get healed, people get whole again. But Kuan Yin is a bodhisattva. Bodhisattva in Buddhist tradition is an enlightened being. She or he can go to nirvana anytime, but they refuse to go because they say there are so many people suffering in this turbulent water, not just people. Mountains, water, air, animals, they are suffering. We don't want to go to nirvana by ourselves. We rather want to stay here in this turbulent water in order to empower them to get enlightened with us. So they refuse to go into nirvana. And I compare this spirituality with the Christian spirituality called all good guys go to heaven and all bad guys go to hell. But what Kuan Yin is praying is, Kuan Yin doesn't pray getting some people, some goodies out of hell. Kuan Yin prays abolition of hell itself. It's a very different kind of spirituality. But when I read more about Kuan Yin, especially from Chinese folklore, Kuan Yin is a woman, just ordinary woman.
because of her wisdom and her compassion, she became this level of goddess. So in Asia, in many parts of Asia, incarnation always comes from the bottom to top. Never godson or, you know, daughter just drop here and become God. Rather, it's a very organic process. You come and you experience all the things in this world, and because of the way you lived, the way you shared your life, you become God and goddess one day. So Korean, Asian feminist theologians, especially Korean feminist theologians said, we don't believe in Christology from above. It doesn't click to us. We only believe Christology from below. And when you look at the image of Guanyin in India, an original image, most of Guanyin, the Bodhisattva Guanyin's image was male. But over the years, it has changed in woman's image. I wonder why. Why Guanyin has this sex transferring operation suddenly? Who did this operation? Who was the doctor? Huh? I wanted to know. Then I really look into women's folk religion, popular religiosity, and there is this subversive action, resistance of changing the sex of God. Because of Guanyin's work is based on wisdom and compassion, Asian woman instinctively knew it is more suitable with woman's way of being in this world. So when I look at Guanyin, I see enormous compassion and her interconnectedness to world, all beings in this world, not just the human beings, every sentient being in this world, and her persistence and her resilience to stick together with us and to stay here, never go and left us alone. And third image I got came from the Philippines. Her name is Ina. Ina means mother, and Ina means earth. So it is an indigenous goddess of the Philippines. But when Spanish missionaries, Spanish government conquered Philippines and they converted Filipino people, they emphasized this docile, very obedient image of Mary. So this white, skinny Mary just looking at the sky and said, "Thy will be done. Do whatever you want to me." Back in the Mary, they really emphasized this docile Mary. But what Filipino people did to this docile Mary is they start to call Mary Ina. So when they go to the Catholic Church, they call Mary and they say, "Dear Ina." So from the Spanish perspective, they said, "Oh, finally we converted over Filipinos." But what they did is they converted Christianity into their own religions. I can see the revolt of a symbol. And revolt is an active resistance from people's part to reclaim their deity in their lives. Ina is very meaningful for us today because this earth itself is Ina. So we are not taking care of earth. Earth is taking care of us. So when we have this JPIC, Justice, Peace, and Integrity of Creation conference in Korea, Korean theologians made it very clear. When we do theology, we have to remember that the earth is fine without earth, without us. But we cannot survive without earth. Therefore, even do not use this image of gardeners of earth or image of
caretakers of earth. Rather, we use that we are a visitor to this earth, and earth is welcoming us and taking care of us. So what we are emphasizing, there's a new term coming out of this theology, so geo-piety. We need a piety to the earth. So out of the geo-piety, what many Korean theologians try to do nowadays is how to make a connection between spirit of earth and our Christian theology. And when you look at this philosophy behind the land in Korea, we call it the theory of philosophy of wind, mountain, and water, because you just don't live everywhere. You have to find the exact place you should live. Your energy, your personal energy must suit with this, suitable with this land energy. If you have too much yang in you, you have to live in inland. And you have too much yin in you, you have to live in yang land. So you cannot make a war, you cannot go crazy, and you cannot become, you cannot be so greedy. Basically, we see if you have the brokenness of your energy balance, you did all kinds of bad things. So you have to be very careful where you live. But you know what they said? It's very interesting. According to this philosophy of wind, water, and mountain, and how to discern the energy, we call it ki or chi, can energy of life, energy of land. The best energy of land comes from the land shape. But that land shape is a womb shape. And real power point is the vagina of that land. So people really try to find this opening of a womb in many lands. Because in that land we know the sacred power resides in that land. When you live with this kind of awareness, it is very hard to destroy the land. Therefore, Vandana Shiva, she wrote this Staying Alive. She said, basically, the sacred symbol and sacred principle of Asia is forest principle. In the forest, we can see this community of life. So we have to learn how to imitate the life of forest rather than develop forest with our own ideas. Then what does it mean to bring in this Trinity of Goddess in my Christian tradition? How this Kuan Yin, Kali, and Ina got to do with my Christian theology? I have asked these questions again. What I do, learning about their qualities and what they do with ourselves and our world and our universe, is my change of perspective. So we call it the fusion of different horizons. Imagination and creativity comes with these fusions of different horizons. The more radically different it is, the more imagination, the more creativity you could find in it. Because you have to struggle with it, because conflict is so high. Therefore, what I did, what I discovered after studying all these goddesses, is I start to look at different image of God in Christian tradition. What is the image of Kali in Christian tradition?
Where can I find that image? Where is the image of Kuan Yin in Christian tradition? Is there any similar image there? Where is the image of Ina I can find? But in Christian tradition, they say, we say, we all come from the earth. It means all, we all come from Ina. We have that tradition. But suddenly, it becomes so clear to me. And about Kuan Yin, this human being with his compassion and wisdom become a goddess. Where this image I can find? I can find in John's Gospel. And Jesus said, I will go, but Holy Spirit will come. But when Holy Spirit comes, you will do something greater than what I did. I think we forgot about it totally. I don't think many of us think we can do something greater than what Jesus did. But we have this tradition. And what is the tradition of Kali? I can see in the act where the early Christian community, some people, out of greed, they hide some of their money and they didn't give it to the community. They didn't return it to community. What they were perished. So those kind of image I reclaim in Christian tradition. And I also know, studying these three goddesses, the total other God who is not connected with our life, who just sit there and control us, must go. That kind of God doesn't empower Asian women throughout the histories. So we need to find a God who is actively present with us. And through Kali, I affirm the God of justice, God who have a preferential option for the poor, God who doesn't like this 500 years of colonization. I see that God of justice in her. And in Kuan Yin, I also saw this God who abolished dualism totally, because there is no God, no humanity, the division. It is in continuum. And her presence and her interconnectedness is everything, not just human beings, every living being, not just the present, past, and future. Lead us to this collective image of us. So we are not just us. We are collective being from all these heritages. And from Ina, what I see us part of God, God's body, and we share this, the power of Ina, and to be in peace with this cosmos, not to interrupt the energy of this cosmos, and to know how to relate with this cosmos. Therefore, what I discovered from all this search is a God, Goddess, who is not power over us, this power of domination, the power of this military, and power of this capitalism, but God of healing, God of caring, God of persistence, God of resilience, and God of affirming life, and God of life. Therefore, I want to invite all of you today, you find in your own tradition this ancient and new and future image of God who will enable us to be together and to heal this earth and to heal ourselves and to heal this world. And we participate in her body and in her spirit and in her work. Therefore, we all can share her divinity in our everyday life. Thank you.